Chuck Chat Technorama for Monday, October 10th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors, cardinal gram meters, six hydrocoptic marble veins, conductors and fluxes, prefamulated annulite, malleable logarithmic casing, swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, ambifacient lunar wave shaft, Lotus O-deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retroincabulator.
Hello, my friend, and thanks for connecting to Technorama. Like a pesky neighbor, Technorama is there for you. I'm Chuck Tomasi. With me is my trusty co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm okay, Chuck. Let me check. Yeah, I'm okay.
Still got a pulse.
How you doing? Yeah, as far as I can tell.
A warm pulse and a microphone, that's all we need for a co-host, right?
Thanks, man.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got Craig tells us how he hacked his little CVS disposable video camera. We've got tons and tons of news stories. We've got, we've got all kinds of things. This is really a mishmash night.
Why it's called Technorama.
A lot of neat stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll be back right after we hear from our sponsor.
See ya.
If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings.
On this day in tech history for October 10th. It's October 10th. This is the 283rd day of the year. There are 82 days remaining. There are only 60 days left until the Chronicles of Narnia open. It was on this date in 1913 that U.S. President Woodrow Wilson triggered the explosion of the Gamboa Dike, thus ending the construction on the Panama Canal. The Blue Water Bridge opens on this date in 1938, connecting Port Huron, Michigan and Sarnia, Ontario. Sold, dismantled, and moved to the United States, the London Bridge reopens in Lake Havasu City, Arizona on this date in 1971. And on this date in 1978, U.S. President Jimmy Carter signs a bill into law that authorizes the minting of the Susan B. Anthony dollar. And my favorite, in 1979... the Pac-Man arcade game is released to the Japanese market by Namco. Happy birthday on this date goes out to Henry Cavendish, the British scientist, born on this date in 1731. In 1780, John Abercrombie, the Scottish physician and philosopher. The Italian composer Giuseppe Verdi was born on this date in 1813. And you'll have to forgive me on this one. Happy birthday in 1861 to Fridtjof Nansen, the Norwegian explorer a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 10th.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
Craig.
Yes, sir.
The on this day in tech history, there was that one about Woodrow Wilson. Do you know who the first president was that used a computer?
Who used a computer?
Yeah.
First president used a computer. Wasn't like Packard or something, was it?
No. Warren G. Hard Drive.
Okay.
Whoosh, right over his head. You could hear a pin drop on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Moving right along.
Yeah.
we've got an audio clip. My coworker, Steve Pruitt, picked up on I mentioned the Chernobyl pictures last week, and you had said something about the person who went around with the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some feedback to that.
Hello, I'm calling in regards to the Technorama podcast on the 5th of October, the item Chernobyl motorcycle trip. I believe Craig spoke to that one. It seems that he's spreading some urban legend because, according to the several involved motorcyclists that I follow on the internet, that she was discovered as a hoax over a year ago. The pictures that she took, either she took on a bus tour of Chernobyl or she got from other sources. So I appreciate that you stopped spreading the urban legend. So thank you very much. Great show. Love the topics. I'll keep listening. Bye.
I'd appreciate if you wouldn't keep spreading the urban legends.
I live for spreading urban legends. No, actually... You know, all the time I get emails from like my dad or other people saying, oh, check this out. You know, and I always, before I even accept any part of it, I usually go to Snopes.com or some places like that and look to make sure that they're on the up and up. Like, I had one, somebody sent me, it was some U.S. soldiers. They had little yards set up around their tents. And they were growing grass and clipping it and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I would like to accept the story. Let me go look. And sure enough, it was fine. It was true. There was right pictures. So usually I go and look for all that stuff, but I never even thought once to go and validate that story. I'm going to have to go look but for myself, but I believe you. If that's what you say,
yeah, he's a big motorcycle fan, so he gets that on the message boards a lot.
Hey, it was a cool story anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, well, regardless, the pictures are cool.
The pictures are cool. We got a voicemail last time from Bruce Barr, who was in Charlotte momentarily and had a momentary lapse of memory because he forgot you were there. He sent us back an email that said, "Yeah,
I'm always here."
You're always there. He's rarely here. There.
Nah.
So, he said, I should have remembered Craig was in Charlotte. He said he didn't listen to the show until he was back on the plane to Kansas City, and now he's on his way to Omaha. So he was on the plane listening to the show, and all of a sudden, clear out of the blue, he hears that part and goes, dang! And people start looking at him funny. So you'll know podcasts are mainstream when people start doing that out of the blue, and if you see him wearing earbuds and somebody says, darn podcasters, you'll know that's when we've hit the mainstream, when people can recognize this social problem we've got.
He's talking back to his iPod.
Or they just start busting out laughing.
Well, I'll catch you on the next time, next on the flip side, man.
Alrighty.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck Chat.
Tell me about this mech you found.
Well,
video of a mech.
Yeah, it's a video of a mech. Trying to figure out what it is. You ever played? Well, let me back up. Have you ever played Mech Warrior?
Not personally. I've seen demos of things like Battle Mech Chess.
Yeah, or the even some of the role playing games. You know, the real time strategy type stuff, kind of like Starfleet, was it Starfleet Battles or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you can do it with mechs and stuff like that. Anyway, a mech is basically a big armored tank that walks around on legs and it has guns attached to it, you know, to do whatever. Well, today I saw a video and I'm trying to determine if it's or false.
Yeah, we know how you fall for those hoaxes.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for an urban legend. Anyway, the guy shows it walk around, and it looks pretty convincing. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes, of course. I want y'all to go look at it and email us or whatever and tell me if you think it's true or you think it's false. You think it's faked or whatever. Photoshop. I don't know. It moves around. It looks pretty impressive. But, you know, I've seen some fan films on the internet that look pretty impressive. So
maybe we should get a clip of Wichita Rutherford. Is it true or just a rumor?
Rumor.
I looked at it. It looked pretty convincing. But you never know. The way they can do CGI and things these days, the guy probably could have just been sitting up in a tree for all we know.
Yeah, and actually this video is through the Google video search. So when you're watching it, it looks a little, you know, the video is enlarged a little bit. So it's hard to say with the acuteness of, you know, clarity to go, oh yeah, it's so fake, you know, it's hard to say that. But so look at it, tell me what you think.
We'll take a look.
If it's true, I would climb in it in a minute.
You would?
I don't know. As long as the nose was
bipedal. I'd be afraid of the thing falling on me.
You know, be okay.
All right. Hold on, we got another sponsor ad to run here.
Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can, with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer for Tech Podcast listeners, you can take an additional $5 off of any order of $30 or more. All you have to do is enter tech code TECH4, that's TECH and the number 4, when you check out.
Ready to get your geek on? You should check out Technorama.
And check out we are. That's two times, the ad and the thing said check out. So
Check, please.
We are seriously checked out. Craig, what have you been doing with that CVS disposable camera of yours?
Well, I spent my afternoon, and to keep myself off the streets, you know, and out of trouble, I thought I would take on a little hacking project. I don't know if you have CVS stores around your area, but, you know, CVS is it's a drugstore brand.
It has nothing to do with the software development things?
No. Not that kind of CVS.
All right, just checking.
But they have a branded disposable camera and a camcorder. Basically, you buy the thing. It's $25-$26. You're supposed to take it home, shoot 20 minutes of video. That's all it stores on it. And then you take it back, and you pay them, what, $12 or so, and they'll send you, they'll give you a DVD of what you had on there. Sounds great. But I don't want to pay the $12. I don't want to reuse this thing.
Right.
So the idea is you're supposed to hack it. You can... or the firmware has been hacked, so you can unlock the camera and copy the video off. To do this, I have to add a USB port to my camera, which I did that today. And it wasn't... I got to work on my Dremel skills a little bit because...
it looked all right.
It wasn't too bad. I kind of went just a little too far in a couple places, but... So basically, I put a USB connector on the thing. I need to install the software on my laptop. My last part of the project is getting a USB A connector cable on both ends so I can hook it right up to the laptop. But what happens is the videos are stored in an XVID format, which is much like DivX. That's a little better compression, I think.
Yeah.
You can copy them right off to your laptop and do whatever you want with them.
Now, you still have to test it, though, right? You haven't actually worked it?
Yeah, I have to test it. I think I got everything set up right. Mine looks good. I just need to hook it up to the computer and copy my videos off. But it took me about, I don't know, a good hour and a half. I was taking my time with it, and I had to cut the hole for the connector and then, you know, I got pictures of as I went through the thing, and hot glue the connector in place, make sure it didn't want to move when I go to unplug and unplug. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty good.
Neat. I want to know if it works.
Oh, I should know tomorrow as soon as I find a stupid USB cable.
You've also got some news on Google News Reader.
Yeah, you know, that I talked about last week that I was thinking I was using Gregarious as a... are going to start using a Gregarious as a USB. As a USB reader.
You tainted that as the... USB reader. No, RSS reader.
RSS reader.
You painted that as the holy grail of news readers. What happened?
I didn't say holy grail.
You said it was really good.
Yeah, I said it was really good. Well, the idea of it is it's in PHP. I can edit it and, you know, do whatever I want with it. And you had feeds coming out the yin-yang out of it. No, I was just saying that Google had released their news reader this week. It's reader. You can go to reader.google.com. Mm-hmm. And if you have a Google account, like with your Gmail, you can go right ahead and start importing, adding feeds or importing an OPML directory of your feeds. And I did that, imported mine, and played around with it. Now, I think it came out Friday or Thursday, and the first day it was dog slow. But I imagine there were a lot of people hitting it, and a lot of people trying to import their OPMLs or adding feeds, so it's going out reading all this, you know, the feed data. So I imagine it was kind of slow, or that was the reason it was slow. Today, or the last couple of days, it's not too bad. I don't really like it as much as I like Gregarious or even Bloglines, mm-hmm. because, one, the way they show your feeds, all your new items are in a big list, and you just kind of, this is the cool part. It's the interface is nice and clean using Ajax-type design. You can use keyboard navigation to slide through your feeds.
Like Gmail.
Articles. Not just, I shouldn't say feeds, but your articles, because they're all in a big list.
Right.
So you just sit there and hit J and K, and it'll go up and down your new items. You can hit S to star them, which is kind of cool. Problem is, when you first import, like an OPML, there's a bunch of articles in there, and they're all old, or at least most of them, because I just added the feed. Mm-hmm. So I wish there was a way to do mark as read and do them all, and then start reading from here on out.
Really? There's no mark as mark all as read?
No, I didn't see one. And if there was one, it was hidden. So maybe they'll get that added. So, but I liked it, but I think I need something a little more robust for me. I'm still using Bloglines for the moment until I can get Gregarious down like I want. But, you know, those two are really the best for me.
I'd almost consider that a critical feature. Is when you first start, who wants to have to forcibly go through all, you know, hundreds of articles that you really don't care about because they're in the past at this point?
Well, you know, I keep about 200 feeds.
Yeah.
So, and I probably could ditch some of those, but I keep about 200 feeds. So you can imagine how many articles that I would have adding all those brand new. You know, imagine on the average, if everyone had 10 new items or 10 items in their feed.
Yeah. Well, keep an eye out. I don't know. Maybe that's a 1.1 feature or something, or maybe it's just there and I don't know how to get to it yet.
It's the infamous Google beta.
Everything at Google's in beta.
Google's beta.
Yeah, the company hasn't been released yet.
I tell you what else, what is kind of cool, is if you add a podcast feed that has enclosures.
Yes.
It'll show a flash player along in your article, so you can hit play and just start listening to it right there.
Hmm. That's
kind of
pretty
cool.
Nice,
so, yeah. So somebody's thinking on that end.
Yeah, maybe it'll help get more people listening.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it'll get better. One other thing I'd like to add is in Bloglines and along with Gregarious, you can add a bookmarklet, you know, where if you're on a page that has a feed, you can, you know, add to feeds or whatever, and it would pick up the RSS feed and stick it in there for you. They didn't see that. I saw where we can cut paste an URL in there, but
cool.
That's something I'd like to add.
Let's talk about the DARPA challenge.
Yes.
This is the second one, right? The first one was, what, about 18 months ago?
Yeah, it was last year.
Okay, explain what it is real quick.
Wait a minute. Drink a beer.
Drink a beer? You have to drink a beer to do the DARPA challenge? Well, yeah, I guess that's the point. Nobody's driving.
No, I've been holding my glass for like 5 minutes wanting to take a sip.
Okay.
Anyway.
Getting a little hoarse. I need some beer.
DARPA challenge.
The DARPA challenge finally got a winner. Last year, I don't know if everybody has been keeping up with it. They didn't have anybody that completed the course.
It's you're supposed to build an autonomous vehicle that drives from, what, some point in the desert to Las Vegas.
No, not Las Vegas, it's like a big loop, I think. It's 131 miles.
Yep.
It goes through Nevada. It's got to drive 131 miles. They did it in 6 hours and 53 minutes. Doing it 11 minutes. Oh, they finished 11 minutes faster than the Carnegie Mellon Sandstorm project. And, excuse me, there was also like a Hummer that was converted to that it also completed.
Last year, I didn't think they'd finish this year based on last year's results, because they only got, the best entrant was 3 miles out of a 130-mile course. They got 3 miles. Some caught on fire. Some stalled out at the starting line. I mean, it was just a joke. And you're looking going, they must have learned some really good lessons if they actually finished this year. And what was the prize?
$2 million.
Woohoo!
Yep. And the really cool thing about it, like we said, there wasn't anybody last year that won. There were six teams actually crossed the finish line.
This year, six finished the... Wow.
Well, let's put it this way. It said, well, we know there was a winner, and it said five others completed the course, so I assume six went over the finish line, so that's pretty good.
And that's impressive.
Yeah. And they all used GPS or something like that. I think some of them tried to read some terrain or something. You know, I'm not sure how all that works, but I remember seeing a while back it was on Tech TV. Mm-hmm. They did a special on the DARPA challenge. This is the one you're talking about where they show cars going and you're just they cross the finish line or the start line and bam, hit a bunker or something or burst into flames. But
maybe they finished this year because they had Google Earth.
Yeah, they had Google Earth. That's all. That was it.
that wasn't there last time.
Google Earth. Hey, check it out. There's some terrain. Oh, and
podcast. And this is Rob from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
I was saying, hey, look, there's some terrain and there's some lodging there too.
This autonomous vehicle pulls up and orders a burger.
Yeah, it's some gas.
All right, for those of you who don't follow, Open Office 2.0 is just about to be officially released. They've got Release Candidate 2 out. We'll have a link in the show notes. Lots of good features in this one, including the big change that I noticed in this one is the default file format is now the OASIS open document format that they use, and you can still do a save as and get it to Word 97 or 2000 or XP if you're saving a Word file, for example. Lots of different compatibility formats when you're saving, new multi-pane view, so when you're looking at it, it's just a little cleaner interface. Lots of custom shapes to be compatible with Microsoft Auto Shapes for arrows and symbols and flow diagrams, things like that. Enhanced PDF export, you can dump right to PDF, much the same way as a lot of Mac programs can, but you'll be able to do this on PC and Linux as well.
You said enhanced. Do they have some features to that?
OpenOffice 1.1 introduced the PDF export feature. Version 2 now extends the basic export feature. With this new version, it is possible to define the compression levels of embedded images. In addition, the PDF support now correctly handles thumbnail images and hyperlinks.
Oh, that's sweet, because before, I could always basically export to a PDF, but it was pretty plain.
Yep.
That's sweet.
New enhanced database front end. Looks like it's easier to do and control manage databases. Mail merge wizard, enhanced word count features, supports for nested tables, which makes it now better, improves compatibility with Microsoft Word, supports digital signatures, XForm supports, WordPerfect filters. I know I've been waiting for those, but maybe some of the WordPerfect people have. The limit previously on their Calc program, which was their Excel replacement, was 32K of rows, 32,768. It now goes up to 65536, so they have a full 64K of rows.
That's what Excel does.
Yes, and it's now that's the same limit. Before, Excel could save more rows than OpenOffice could.
That's sweet.
Enhanced pivot table support. So those of you who use pivot tables in Excel will be happy to hear that. Native installers, is a ton of new features. This is really looks like a mature product that I'm definitely going to try it out. It looks like, what did you say about the Mac?
They have a native version for the Mac now.
So you don't need to run X11?
No. And there was, what you're talking about, I'm trying to remember the name of that one project. I never installed it, so that's why I can't remember. But there was another project that took OpenOffice and applied Aqua to it. But that was native.
We're going to check that out for you, ladies and gentle persons.
Yeah, and as soon as I hear about read it, I'm going to be like, oh, man. Yep. But, you know, and I'll tell you something else real quick. My cousin bought a new PC not too long ago, and she was asking about Office and stuff, and I was going to take OpenOffice right over there and let her use it, because all she does is she buys baseball cards and keeps them all in an Excel spreadsheet.
And she doesn't need to pay a whole lot of money for Excel for that.
Even when she bought the student version of Office, and I was like, oh, man, she would never use any of it except for Excel.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a perfect use of OpenOffice.
Oh, hey. I mean, most of the reports I write at work don't need super-duper features of Word.
Oh, I use OpenOffice in our environment all the time.
You know, right, change the style. Right, change the style. Right, change the style. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Now, I found an article from the Edmonton Journal that says Canon has made a camera that senses smiles before it takes pictures. Says the camera's artificial intelligence tracks all moving faces within sight and snaps the picture when smiles and bright eyes peak. A challenge even professional photographers. It'll be a while before the camera hits the streets, but that's an interesting technology.
Well, it wouldn't work very well if you're at a funeral.
Well, I'm hoping it's an option you can turn off and say, let me take the darn picture. But if you have a timer feature or something, you don't need to say, watch the red LED go blink, 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 click. And everybody goes, oh, I had my eyes closed. You can go, okay, everybody smile. And you always have that one kid who won't smile.
Oh, my son.
Is he at the stage where he just makes faces for pictures?
Sort of. I don't care what camera you buy, but children must have a sixth sense that knows when that thing's going to flash. Mm-hmm. No matter, I've got an SLR camera. Doesn't matter how quick it is, he will screw up the picture.
Oh yeah. I'm curious to see.
Smile. He'll smile and then but I'll get the picture right when the smile goes away and the eyes are half open. I'm like, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see Ryan's wedding pictures from a couple weeks ago because it took me 11 tries. I kid you not, 11 tries to take his picture for our employee committee page. Because his eyes were either half closed or fully closed. And I said, dude, you've got a wedding coming up. This is going to be terribly expensive if you can't keep your eyes open. I would even go 1, 2, 3. And he would try to hold his eyes open, and he couldn't. So I tried to cheat, and I said 1, 2, click. And his eyes were still closed.
I got a tip for you, though.
What?
This is a new photography tip that crossed my path today. When you're going to take a picture of, say, children. I haven't done this yet, so I'm going to try it with mine. Have them stand in front of you, tell them to close their eyes, and to say, open them. And when they open them, snap.
Oh, I'm going to have to give that a try.
Yeah.
So you could do like a 1, 2, 3, and then they open them on 3, and then you go 3, click.
Yep. That way you get their eyes open.
So. All right. This from the dispelled rumor plant, rumor mill.
Chuck does not have any skeletons in his closet.
I'm not dispelling that rumor. Google says there is no office suite coming from us. Google co-founder...
Rumor.
Ain't that just precious? Google co-founder Sergey Brin has quashed speculation that the giant ad broker is to introduce a web-based office suite. This is a big rumor that was going around last week. We don't have any plans, he told Web 2.0
conference. Yes, we have no tomatoes.
Organizer John Battelle. However, Brin left the door open a little. Documents would be easier to work with in the future, he promised, but he didn't think that a fat client was the way to go.
Hey, we have no office, maybe.
Yeah, today.
You know what? In the moral words of James Bond, never say never.
Never say never again. You laugh.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Scientists are finding out that losing sleep, it really doesn't do a body good. You've got to get your sleep. Listen to this, folks. With a good night's rest, increasingly losing out to the internet, email, late night, cable, and other distractions of modern life, a growing body of scientific evidence suggests that too little or erratic sleep may be taking an unappreciated toll on Americans' health. Now, they've linked this to all kinds of things. This is... Have you... This show will take care of that problem, obviously. Beyond leaving people bleary-eyed, clutching a Starbucks cup, and dozing off in afternoon meetings, failing to get enough sleep or sleeping at odd hours heightens the risk for a variety of major illnesses, including cancer.
Dismissal from work.
Well, yeah, that's a major risk, isn't it? Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, recent studies indicate. That's pretty scary stuff. A large new study, for example, provides the latest in a flurry of evidence suggesting that the nation's obesity epidemic is being driven, at least in part, by a corresponding decrease in the average number of hours that Americans are sleeping, possibly by disrupting hormones that regulate appetite. The analysis of a nationally representative sample of nearly 10,000 adults found that those between the ages of 32 and 49, present company included, who sleep less than 7 hours a night are significantly more likely to be obese. Well,
that's what my problem is.
You can't blame it all on that. But it could have a significant factor. We're going to put a link to that in the rest of the article. That's a Washington Post article that we found today. And, you know, I do my darndest to get all my sleep in.
Screw sleep. Man, you know what?
Sleep is overrated. I need to be awake for those people in China.
You know, I've always felt like when I slept, I might miss something. That's why, I mean, I go to sleep about midnight, and I always get up about 5:36.
Yeah.
I just don't like, you know, I like to be up early, because I always feel like I'm
going to
miss something.
How do you make it through
the next day? What are you talking about? That's the easy part.
Man, I start losing it right after lunch. Because a lot of the body's energy is going into digesting the food, and it's like the brain starts shutting down. Don't start reading specifications after lunch. That's my tip.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you're doing, but no, I haven't had that much of a problem. Sometimes I don't know. I think as I'm gotten a little older, maybe I need a little bit more. But I usually keep it around 5. Maybe 6 hours of sleep.
And how many cups of coffee or cans of Mountain Dew?
That's not too bad. No, usually I have a cup of coffee in the morning, maybe. But I do a lot of soft drinks, so.
Not me, man. I'm still caffeine-free for the most part. Except for the incidental stuff like a chocolate chip cookie. Can't turn down chocolate.
Now, is this because you had to go through rehab and the 12-step process thing to get off your caffeine, or...
Dude, I was a serious Jolt addict in college.
Are you serious?
Yes. I am. I was.
I like Jolt.
That had too much caffeine. I mean, as soon as you lost the buzz, I'd get a headache. I go, okay,
yeah,
where's the next can?
Yeah. Jolt's pretty stout. I like having a Jolt every once in a while, but I don't drink those on a regular basis. Those scare me. I do drink Diet Mountain Dews. I'm starting to go towards... Actually, you know, I'm drinking more hot tea now.
All right, we got to remind everybody about show number 50.
Who?
Show 50. Just a reminder that Technorama is coming up on show number 50. We've got hundreds of dollars worth of cool stuff, and you'll want to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win. To enter, head over to chuckchat.com and sign up for the announcements mailing list to qualify for the prize drawings we'll be doing on show number 50. The mailing lists are on the left side of the main page at www.chuckchat.com. Don't delay. Sign up today.
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head with the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
All right, hope to see you there on show number 50. That's coming up real quick in, the 19th, I think we're scheduled for?
I know, Chuck. It feels like we've been doing this. We just started.
You're sick. I also want to remind everybody, real quick, donations we've gotten, real big thank you to Citrix GoToMeeting for giving us a one-year subscription. That is over $468 worth of value right there alone. Tim Berquin from the Podcast Expo has donated a full pass for the value of $249. Todd Cochran is donating us one of his podcasting books.
Full pass to what?
Full pass to expo floor and the seminars.
For the expo, the podcasting
the
expo.
The Podcast and Portable Media Expo coming up in Ontario, California on November, 11th and 12th.
Mm-hmm.
See us there. We'll be there, probably walking around with an iRiver in one hand and a laptop in the other or something.
And a beer in the other.
What?
That'd be three hands.
I've got two, you've got two, right?
Yeah.
Todd Cochran has donated one of his podcasting books. Evo Terra has his forthcoming podcasting book on the plate and working a couple of other deals to get some more prizes in the near future.
Cool. Man, I can't wait.
When are they going to be done with the alphabet so we can get on with the beta bet?
That's just going to wrap it up for this show. We just have a couple of quick tips. Don't forget this Tuesday, October 11th, is Patch Tuesday from Microsoft. We'll have a link in the show notes to all of the patchy goodness for your Windows machines. I'd rather have a machine that's well patched than buy it from a company that doesn't patch worth a darn.
The pumpkin patch.
Yeah, Halloween's coming, isn't it?
Yes.
And yes, on Wednesday's show, coming up this Wednesday, I will have my coworker Steve, the gentleman who sent us that audio clip about the Chernobyl hoax, will be in the studio. And he'll be talking to us about GPS. That's our core topic for Wednesday's show.
I'm going to refer to him as Coworker Steve the whole entire show.
Coworker Steve.
Hey, Coworker Steve.
Is that better or worse than Boss Bob?
I don't know. I kind of like that.
He's not my Boss Bob anymore. Now he's just and neighbor Bob.
Friend and neighbor. He's been demoted.
He's been relieved.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to miss that one about the GPS if you've got any interest in that. See, I am a GPS idiot. I've touched one, and that's about it. I know nothing more, so he's going to give us the lowdown, the 411, whatever you want to call it, on GPS's.
I hope he can fill me in, because you know what I want? I really want to get a GPS for my pocket PC.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Yeah.
That'd be neat. Hook those two together, you'd have a real powerful package. Okay, take us out.
I am a powerful package, Chuck.
I have a special purpose.
Yeah, I found out what my purpose was for. Anyway, the listener line is 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck and me at chuckchat.com. That's Chuck at chuckchat.com. Or Craig, K-R-E-G, at chuckchat.com. And, of course, I guess you can guess our website right now.
By this time, I hope so.
Yeah.
All the goodness for forums, swag, webcam, mailing lists, show notes, and many, many more articles can be found at www.chuckchat.com. I had to slip that in.
Nice, okay.
Any words of wisdom this time?
Yes, to make up for the last week, I do. Computers have lots of memory, but no imagination.
I like that one. I'm going to start sticking some of these in. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for staying subscribed. If you're not subscribed, go over to chuckchat.com and figure out the best way to do that, whether you're using iTunes, Audio, Podnova, or some other RSS aggregator. It's up to you. Choice is good. Binary high five, Craig.
1-0-1.
Bye now. Money, money, money!
Good Lord.